गतं ददौ लोकत्रयोपकाराय तस्मै कृष्णात्मने नमः। हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम टू द भगवद्गीता भक्तिशास्त्री कोर्स। टुडे विल कंटिन्यू विद आवर डिस्कशन ऑफ द फोर्थ चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद्गीता। वी हैव डिस्कस्ड टिल नाउ द फर्स्ट सेक्शन एंड वी आर इन द सेकंड सेक्शन ऑफ हाउ कृष्णा इज द source and the goal of all paths. He gives different paths which are ultimately meant to come back to him. So we discussed yesterday about demigod worship. Let's move forward and discuss the next verse today. So namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spruha iti mam yogi janati karma bhirna sabadhyate. So Krishna is telling over here, namam karmani limpanti. Limpanti means to be affected by. Krishna is saying, I am not affected by a work. And name karma phale spruha, nor do I desire the fruits of work. Iti mam yogi janati. One who understands this about me, one who understands me thus, karma bhir na sabadhyate. Such a person will not be bound by karma. So what is Krishna telling actually over here? Namam karmani limpanti. That he says, I am not attached to. So, actually when we do work, there are two things. One is we do the work to get some result. And that work is done outwards to get some result, and inward it has an effect. When we do a work, we feel excited about it. We feel burdened by it. We feel annoyed by it. We feel fearful about it. We can have different emotions. So, we seek something outside and it has some effect inside, whatever work we do. So, Krishna is saying that neither of these happens to him. Namam karmani limpanti. That the work doesn't affect me inwardly. Name karma phale spruha. It doesn't. I don't desire any result. Why does Krishna not desire any result? Because Krishna is complete. He is complete. He doesn't have anything to gain specifically. Now, this is Krishna's elaboration of what he told in the previous verse, that is 4.13. Tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartaram avayam. So 4.13d. What he says over there is vidya kartaram avayam, that actually I am the non-doer. So how he is the non-doer, he is explaining over here. So he says that I don't desire, I am not affected internally by the work that I do, nor do I seek the external result of the work. Now what is the point of stating this? The point is that Krishna is transcendental. That Krishna is, although he appears in the material realm like the rest of the living beings, he is not in the material realm. He is transcendental, beyond. His motivations are transcendental, his aspirations are transcendental. And therefore, one who understands it, iti mam yobi anati. One who understands this, such a person karma bhir nasa badhyate. Such a person will not be bound by karma. Not be bound by karma. So, what is the implication of this? That once we understand Krishna's transcendental position, then we also become transcendental by gaining this understanding. See, transcendental understanding is not theoretical. It's an understanding based on transformation. It's an understanding when we understand that, why does Krishna act? If he is not materially motivated, why does he act? He acts out of love. Now we may say, is love also not a karma phale spruha? No. When we use the word karma, it is used in the material sense. When we want something material as a result of something that we have done, that is karma phale spruha. But Krishna doesn't want the result of anything material. So, iti mam yogi janati. One who understands this about me, karma bhir nasabadhyate. So, knowledge about Krishna is extraordinary. As devotees, we are not interested in, say, the battle of Waterloo or the battle of... there are so many historically important battles that happened. Waterloo was a battle where Napoleon was defeated and England won the war against France, or there was the Battle of Normandy where they evacuated Normandy. So many battles are there throughout history. India, there was the Battle of Plassey and so many other battles. But a devotee is not interested in those battles. Then why are we interested in the Battle of Kurukshetra? Because it is connected with Krishna. And why are we interested in Krishna? Because Krishna is not an ordinary person. He is a transcendental person. And being a transcendental person means that He can make us transcendental. So when we come to know Krishna, we become purified. And when we become purified, then we return to him. So there is one important aspect to understand. There is to know Krishna and to know about Krishna. The two are different things. To know Krishna and to know about Krishna. What is the difference? when a doctor examines a patient, say the patient is a small child, and the patient has come with the child is there, small, with his mother, the child has come. So now, the doctor examines the patient. When the doctor examines the patient, what does the doctor actually do? Doctor takes the blood pressure, the heartbeat, the pulse rate, the various bodily parameters. Now by that, the doctor will come to know about the patient, about the child. Will the doctor know the child? To know the child, the doctor has to strike a personal relationship. So the mother may not know about the WBC count, the platelet count, the urine composition, the similar physical parameters, technical physical parameters of the child. So she doesn't know about the child, but she knows the child because she has a relationship of love with that child. So the point here is that there is, one can know about God and one can know God. So a clinical approach towards God can give us a lot of knowledge about God. Okay, God appeared over, God came over here, God did this, God did that, God does like this, God acts like that. That is theoretical knowledge, that is not transformational knowledge. We want not just theoretical knowledge, but transformational knowledge. What is the difference between the theoretical and transformational? Actually, theoretical knowledge just stays in the head. Transformational knowledge changes the direction of our love. When we come to know Krishna, not just know about Krishna, when we come to know Krishna, then we become purified. And when we become purified, then we redirect our love towards Krishna and we return back to Krishna by that. So, iti mam yo vijanati karma bhir nasabadhyate. Acha person Krishna says, not bound by karma. Karma bhir nasabadhyate. Who iti mam yo vijanati? One who understands me that I am not materially motivated in any way. So, Prabhupada now quotes here. This verse from the Smriti is that Nimitta Matra Vevasa Srujyanam Sarga Karmani Pradhana Karani Bhuta Yatovai Srujya Shaddayaha. So, Pradhana Karani Bhuta. So, Karan is cause, Pradhan is main, Srujya Shaddayaha. So, actually, the Supreme Lord is a Pradhana Karan. Nimitta matra mevaso. So, srujyanam sarga karmani. So, nimitta matra is the instrumental cause. So, there is a primary cause and there is an instrumental cause. Pradhana karani and nimitta matram. Nimitta matram is a word that will come later in the Bhagavad Gita. 11.33 when Krishna says, nimitta matram bhavasa uvyasachi. Just become an instrument for me. So, here what is the context? What is Prabhupada saying over here? That actually, when the things happen in the world, is the Lord responsible for the things happening? For example, say, there is a place where there are three places. One place where there is just the appropriate quantity of rains and the crops go properly over there. Another place where there is too much rain and there is flood over there. Third place where there is where there is practically no rain and droughts are there. So now, actually speaking, is the Lord responsible for why there are more rains here, less rains here, and no rains there at all? No. Actually, He is the ultimate cause. But what happens over there is ultimately the result of karma. So, He is not responsible for the specifics. The specifics are the reactions for the specific actions that people have performed. Overall, what essentially happens is that the Lord is the overseer of the whole system. He is not the specific cause. It's the judge is not the cause of specifically some person getting punishment and some person getting compensation. It's ultimately the Supreme, who is the person who is responsible for whatever that person gets. So another example could be, if we have a place where we get proper rains, but at one place crops grow, another place weeds grow. Why is that? Because at that place, different kind of seeds were sown. So one place the seeds were sown and the crop were tilled, and another place nothing like that was done. There's a difference between the two. So same way, actually there's a difference between what kind of karma we have done. So the same circumstances, you know, sometimes two twins are born in the same family, and one twin grows up to be a very cultured, gentlemanly person, other twin grows to be a uncultured, brutish sort of person. Why the difference? It's actually the parents offered a similar kind of love and care, but they had different inclinations coming from their previous lives. So the Lord is not responsible, Prabhupada is saying, that we are ourselves responsible for what we do. So now, Prabhupada quotes the Vedanta Sutra over here. Vaishamya nirgrunya na sapekshatvat. Vaishamya nirgrunya. So Vaishamya is partiality. Na sapekshatvat. Vaishamya nirgrunya na sapekshatvat. Paksha. The Lord doesn't take any paksha. The Lord is not partial to anyone. So, let's understand this point better. When we say the Lord is not partial, what is He? He is reciprocal. Reciprocal means, as we approach, so He rewards. If the Lord were just a principle, so for a principle, neutrality would be the ideal. Yeah. So is Krishna partial or impartial? You know, for a force or a principle, neutrality is the ideal. For a person, reciprocity is the ideal. What does this mean? Now, if we have the principle of gravity. I have the principle of gravity. Now, if I take a cell, say, and I drop it, it falls. Then, if I take a cloth, it drops. Now, if there is a child who is in a 10-story building, and that if a cloth is dropped from there, it will fall. If a child jumps from there, child will also fall. So, gravity is a force. And gravity is neutral entirely. No, object which we want to throw away and discard, throwing it away, there's no loss in it. You just get good riddance of it. But a child, if it falls, that's a great loss. It's a disaster, a calamity for the parents. But then, it's neutral. It's because gravity is a force. So for a force or a principle, neutrality is the idea. But if there is a person, for a person, neutrality is not the idea. Imagine we meant to meet someone, and that person had a stone-like face, no matter whatever happened. Now somebody goes and praises that person. You're so gentleman. Absolute stone-like demeanor. And somebody comes and chastises that person, scolds that person, berates that person, stone-like demeanor. Matter whatever you do, that person is stone-like. Now, at one level, we may appreciate how stoic the person is, but it won't be much developing a relationship with that person. How will we develop that relationship? How will we develop any relationship with that person? What makes a person lovable is reciprocity. So, Krishna reciprocates. So those who approach Him with love, He reciprocates with them. So this is a continuation of the point of Yetha Maam Prapadyante. So Krishna's reciprocity is not partiality. If somebody becomes devoted to Him, Krishna reciprocates. We'll discuss about Krishna's partiality, impartiality later in the 9th chapter when you come to that verse. Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu 9.29. Ame Dveshyosti Na Priya Yabjanti Tu Maam Bhaktya Maite Teshu Chapyaham. But here the point is, reciprocity is not partiality. Reciprocity is actually the evidence of personality. A person has to be reciprocal. If a person is not reciprocal, then the personality doesn't have any meaning, much meaning actually. So, moving forward now, reciprocity, Krishna says that I am reciprocal. And He's not. So, depending on the kind of seeds that are sown, accordingly crops will grow. So, Krishna is not discriminating. Oh, for this person I'll give you grains, this person I'll give you weeds. No, whatever you sow, you will get. So Krishna is saying, I am not personally involved. So whenever things happen in this world, He is not personally involved in the sense that He doesn't have favorites. He doesn't say, I will do good for this person, I will do bad for this person. He just does whatever is required according to the laws of karma. So Krishna is not under the laws of karma, but He does not normally interfere with the laws of karma. He is above the laws of karma and He lets them function. And even when He acts, He doesn't come under the laws of karma. He acts by His own transcendental principles of love. So, one who understands this transcendental position of Krishna is actually liberated. So now, let's look at the next verse. So, Prabhupada explains that now Krishna says that actually it is not just a theoretical statement. I think many people have become liberated like this. Evam gyatma kritam karma Purvairapi mukshum hi kuru karmaiva tasmatvam purvai purvataram kritam. So, evam gyatva, having known this, kritam karma, one who works accordingly. एवं ज्ञात्वा कृतम कर्म पूर्वैर अपि मुमुक्षुभि. इन द पास्ट ऑल्सो दोज हु वर सीकिंग लिबरेशन, सो वॉट हैपन टू देम, कुरु कर्मैव तस्मात्त्वम्. सो एवं ज्ञात्वा कृतम कर्म पूर्वैर अपि मुमुक्षुभि मीन्स दैट दोज हु वर मुमुक्षुभि, दोज हु वर सीकिंग लिबरेशन, मुमुक्षुभि सीकर्स ऑफ लिबरेशन, और दोज हु वांटेड लिबरेशन, दोज हु अटेन्ड लिबरेशन. Those who wanted liberation, they acted in this way and they got liberation. With this knowledge, they acted Gyatma Kritam Karma in the past, Purvaira. And therefore, Krishna is saying, Arjuna, therefore, Arjuna, you should also act like that. Kuru Karma Eva, Kuru means to do, Karma Eva, act similarly. Tasmatam, therefore, you. Purvai Purvataram Kritam, as the people in the past have acted. So, the point which Krishna is making is, this is a time tested process. Like a doctor who said, yes, they are all the patients who have been cured. So, you take this treatment, you will also get cured. So Krishna is saying this is a time-honored process. And this is one of the wonderful things about Krishna consciousness. It is not some newfangled notion. It is not even, actually, Krishna consciousness is neither modern nor ancient. It is eternal. It is transcendental. So, of course, it is transcendental and eternal. At the same time, it has been going on in history for also a long, long time. And in that sense, it is something which is wonderful. It is wonderful that Krishna consciousness has actually purified many, many people in the past and it has liberated people. So, of course, Krishna is talking here about Karma Yoga, which will culminate in Bhakti Yoga. So, Prabhupada says that the important point of this verse is that foolish persons or neophytes in Krishna consciousness often want to retire from activities without having knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Arjuna's desire to retire from activities in the battlefield is not approved by the Lord. One need only know how to act. So the point is, actually one doesn't have to give up activities, one simply needs to know how to act. If we know how to act, then we will not be bound. We will stay liberated. So Krishna is saying, Arjuna, you are concerned about karmic bondage? Yes, I agree with your concern. It's an important concern. But don't assume that just by renouncing action, you will be able to break free from bondage, or that just by doing action, you will get bound. There is a way to act by which one can stay free from bondage. So it is not work that is binding, it is the motivation that makes work binding. So just like the Bhagavatam used the example, well-known example, that if a person takes too much milk, then the person gets a digestive disorder. But then that same milk, when it is transformed into curd, when a person takes the curd, that curd helps to cure the digestive disorder. Similarly, work itself causes bondage. But that work, with a slight transformation, it's like curd is ultimately milk only, with a transformation. So, that same milk which caused the disease can cure the disease when it is transformed appropriately. Similarly, work that is done for fruitive intentions causes bondage. But work done with detachment, with devotional intention, will bring about liberation. So, one simply needs to know how to act. And that Krishna is going to tell. So, now here Krishna is saying that I teach Dharma. Now the next section will be, Krishna will explain how Karma Yoga will free one from bondage. Karma Yoga is the Dharma which Krishna has come to teach. Karma Yoga, as I said, culminates in Bhakti Yoga. We'll discuss about the connection between Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga later. But Karma Yoga is what frees one from bondage. That's what Krishna is telling over here. People have become freed. So now Krishna will tell how one can practice this Karma Yoga. So he will describe this in several verses by talking about how profound the knowledge of karma is. So, he says, I'll explain things to you. Kim karma kim karmeti kavayopyatra mohitaha tatte karma prabhakshami yajnhatva mokshase shubhat. So, kim karma kim karmeti. So, what is karma and what is akarma? Kavayo means even the wise people. Atra mohitaha, in this subject mohitaha, they are deluded. Even the wise people don't know what is karma and what is akarma. Kim karma kim akarmeti kavayo pyatra mohita tatte karma pravakshami. Pravakshami means to speak. So that karma I will speak to you. Yet gyantva. And Krishna is telling, making a very profound promise over here. Allah. Big promises. If you understand this, yajnyatva mokshase ashubhad. You will become free from inauspiciousness. What is the inauspiciousness? Immediately, he is talking about the karmic bondage that will come from the battlefield. You will not become karmically bound. And ultimately, he is talking about all karmic bondage. All karmic bondage. Krishna says, Arjuna, you will become free from this. Yadgatma moksha se ashubhat will be repeated the same one line from this verse will be repeated by Krishna in the 9th chapter. Idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshamena soyave gyatvan idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshamena soyave gyana vigyana sahitam yajnyatva mokshase ashubhat. So in 9.1 Krishna says you'll become free from bondage, and there he gives more direct knowledge about his personality, about his divinity, about his supremacy and sweetness. So the same point, you'll become free from inauspiciousness. So Krishna is telling, this is not an easy knowledge to understand. Even the wise people get bewildered about it. But if you understand it, you'll become free. In the Mahabharata, there is a very elaborate discussion after the Mahabharata war. When the Kauravas and their all the soldiers are killed, and even the Pandava side soldiers are killed because of Ashwatthama's cowardly night attack. So after that, Krishna, Yudhishthira feels very guilty, repentant, remorseful. And he tells, alas, condemned am I, that for my sake, for the sake of gaining a kingdom, I became the cause of the death of thousands and thousands, millions of people. And he says, I have done such bad karma that I will not be able to free from it, even if I do many, many fire sacrifices. The best thing that I should do is condemn, renounce to the forest and live a life of atonement. So and he tells, he almost makes his, he says, Bhima, you can become the king. He says, I am going to renounce the world. Bhima gets enraged. She says, if this was your intention, then why did we have to fight the war? You could have said this earlier. You know, in the battle when we were waiting, in the forest when we were waiting, you also were waiting for the eventual regaining of the kingdom. And it is, you consented to the war. So, Yudhishthira says, Bhima, you are a child. You do not understand the complexities of dharma. You know, I am going to renounce the world. Then one by one, all the Pandavas, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev, Draupadi, all of them try to persuade him. And then Krishna speaks. Then there are various sages, there are various Brahmins, they speak. Renunciates say that actually, if it is just going to the forest that is going to free from bondage, then all the animals should be liberated souls. It's not like that. So they have very interesting arguments. And then finally Bhima says, oh Yudhishthira, I thought you were a real warrior. And you are a Kshatriya, you have won the battle against the Kauravas. But now you are facing a tougher battle and you are losing that battle. That is the battle against your uncontrolled mind. So then Yudhishthira stiffens and suggests that his mind is uncontrolled. And then Yudhishthira just be silently listening to everyone. But now he starts countering. He says, no. Oh child, it is not my mind that is uncontrolled. The uncontrolled mind goes towards attachment. If my mind had been uncontrolled, I would be attached and wanting to enjoy. I am detached, I am renouncing. It's not that my mind is uncontrolled. It is your mind that is uncontrolled. Because of which, you cannot see the ghastly karma that we have done. And then the discussion goes on and on. And finally, there's no resolution to it. It's finally when they go to Bhishma Pitama. And Bhishma Pitama speaks. And Bhishma Pitama tells various schools of thought. These people say this. And ultimately he says that, actually, what is the right course of action? It is doing the will of the Lord. So it is the Lord's will that this battle took place. So that's why the battle took place. And you were a part of that. Now it is the Lord's will that you become the king. So therefore become the king. So in this way, essentially, what he says is that be a part in the Lord's plan. Nobody can understand the Lord's plan. But if we act according to the Lord's plan, the Lord will ultimately bring about everything auspicious for us. And Bhishma Pitama gives an example of himself. He says, you know, I had such a difficult service, fighting against the Lord. Who would want to do such a service? But I did that, and now what is the reward? Tathapi kanta bhakteshu pashya bhupanu kampitam yanme syunstajatah sakshat krishnu darshanam angatah. So he says, tathapi kanta bhakteshu, because I remained as one-pointed devotee, doing whatever he wanted me to. Pashya bhupanu kampitam, pashya bhupa. Oh king, just see. Anukampitam, just see his mercy on me. What is his mercy? Yanme syuns tajatah sakshad. Tajatah sakshad. When I am about to leave my body, Krishna darshanam agata. Krishna himself has come to give me darshan. Such is his blessing. So the Lord will bless. So don't doubt. And just do the will of the Lord. So the point is, kavyo petra mohitaha. Even the wise get bewildered. Even Yudhishthir, who is Dharmaraj, who answered questions of Yaksha, of Dharma, who was acting as a Yaksha in the forest, Yudhishthir was so learned that actually even the Brahmins were impressed by his learning, the sages were impressed by his learning. But even Yudhishthir was bewildered about what is the actual duty to do. So Krishna is telling that Kavayo Petra Mohita. Of course, this incident of Yudhishthir getting bewildered is going to come after the Mahabharata. This Bhavita is being spoken before the Mahabharata war, Kurukshetra war. But the point is, this is something which always keeps happening. Should we act or should we not act? As Shakespeare said in one of his plays, you know, to do or not to do, that is the question. So there's always the question, how should we act in life? And Kavayo Petra Mohitaha. So Prabhupada quotes that, Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Actually, he says we cannot determine it by our own efforts. We have to know it from the Lord. So we have to know it from the scripture. So let us, but scripture also teaches many things. So Krishna goes on and says, now I'll tell you further. I'll tell you three things. What are the three things? Karmano hi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam chavi karmanaha, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gatihi. Karmano hi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam means no. Know what is karma, then know what is vikarma. And akarmanascha bodhavyam, know what is akarma. Gahana karmano gati. The working of karma is gahan, is complex, is almost incomprehensible. Very difficult one. Gahan is dense or dark or difficult to fathom, difficult to penetrate with our intellect. So he says, the way karma works is very difficult to understand. But essentially you understand three things. What do you understand? What is karma, what is vikarma, and what is akarma. So we have discussed these three in our Ishopanishad study at the beginning of this course in Mantra 3, when we discussed about Mantra 2, we discussed Kurva Neveha Karmani Jivishatam Sama Evam Tvainanyate Tosti Na Karma Lipyate Nare. There Prabhupada explains karma is, that is, it refers to the actions that which bring good reactions. Vikarma is actions which are against scripture which bring bad reactions. And akarma is not inaction. Akarma is action that brings no reaction. So Krishna is saying the whole system of karma, which action will bring what reaction and what reaction is coming because of which action, all that is very complex to understand. But essentially understand three things. Understand that certain actions produce good reactions, certain actions produce bad reactions, and certain actions bring no material reactions. So then Krishna will recommend after this to do akarma. So Krishna starts this explanation by first giving terms to understand. And after these terms, then he moves forward and talks about other things. So now here Krishna uses Upanishadic style, where things are put in a complex way to titillate and tickle the minds of the intellectuals. So karmanya karmaya pashyet akarmani cha karmaya sa buddhiman manushyeshu sa yukta kritsna karma kret. So karmanya akarmaya pashyet. So first I'll tell the literal meaning, then we'll see how the literal meaning is confusing, and then we'll see how the meaning can be clarified. So karmanya akarma yaha pashyed. So karmanya means in action. Now yaha pashyed means he who sees, one who sees. So one who sees karmanya, that is action. Akarma is in action. So one who sees inaction in action. So inaction, inaction. One who sees in karmanya akarma. And then akarmani cha karmayaha. One who sees action in inaction. So in akarma, that is akarmani cha, that means in inaction, one who sees action. So such a person is buddhiman, manushyeshu. Such a person is buddhiman. And such a person is yukta. Such a person will be well situated, well connected. Krishna karma krut. Even if such a person does different kinds of work. So Krishna is saying that if a person, you understand what is action, what is inaction, then even if you do different kinds of actions, like fighting a war, still such a person will be yuktaha, such a person will be well situated, connected for attaining the absolute truth. Such a person is buddhiman. Now when we hear the words like this, we will understand that we are not buddhiman. One who sees action in action and inaction in action, such a person is wise. Now, this translation as well as this verse is a tongue twister and a brain twister, both. Tongue twister, you know, one who sees action in action and inaction in action. To say it yourself is difficult. Action in inaction and inaction in action. What does it mean? So first of all, saying it is a tongue twister and then it's a brain twister. What does it actually mean? So to understand what it means, we'll have to first understand that the word karma and the word akarma have multiple meanings. So let's look at the meanings of the word karma and akarma. Okay. So first of all, what is the word karma? It can have four meanings. First of all, karma can mean action. In general, when we do some work, we are doing karma, that's action. And the word karma can also mean reaction. Reaction means when I do some action and I get some reaction. So we say sometimes, oh, I am suffering because of my karma. And we are not suffering because of our karma in terms of actions. We are suffering in terms of reactions. Why am I sick now? It's because of my karma. So that is, we are talking of karma as reactions. Then we also use karma to refer to the system of action reaction. So we have, nobody can escape karma. Nobody can escape the law of karma. So here we are referring to the law of karma. Here we refer to the system of action reaction that is called as, also known by the name of karma. And then karma can also refer to one category within the three kinds of actions. Now what Krishna referred to in the previous verse. In 4.16 he says, karmano hi api bodhavyam. So there are three kinds of karma. There is karma, vikarma and akarma. So karma can refer to pious action also. So in this way, the word karma can have four meanings. Action, reaction, system of action, reaction, and one kind of action, that is pious action. Similarly, the word akarma can have two meanings. One is inaction. And so now the system of, that will, these two meanings are based on the first two meanings over here. They made into converse. So first, a meaning of karma is action, then akarma is inaction. And then the second meaning of karma, akarma, will be action that produces no reaction. So action that produces no reaction. Now how can action not produce any reaction? When we do action on our own behalf, that produces reaction. But when we do action on Krishna's behalf, that doesn't produce any reaction. How is that? We have discussed the example Prabhupada would often give, that if a soldier goes in the war field and kills the enemy, at that time, the soldier is not killed, the soldier is not punished, the soldier may be rewarded. The soldier is acting on behalf of the nation. The soldier comes home and has a quarrel with the neighbor and shoots the neighbor, the soldier may be put to the gallows for that. So, the point is that there are certain actions which we do on behalf of a higher authority. And if we do act on behalf of the Lord, then we don't become bound by those actions. But if we don't act on the behalf of the Lord, when we act for our own sake, then we do get bound. We do get bound. So there's a difference between the two. So action that produces no reaction means action which you do on behalf of Krishna, then because we are acting on behalf of Krishna, we don't get bound by those actions. So with this understanding of the words karma and akarma, now let's look at what the verse means. So, it's for any of our point, karmanya akarma iha pashyet. So, in action, do karmanya akarma iha pashyet. So, to see inaction in action. So, here what does it mean? Here akarma means not inaction in terms of inactivity. Here it means no karmic reaction. So, karmanya refers to activity, or more precisely, external activity. So, see in external activity, no karmic reaction. So, what it means is that one who sees that, yeah, this kind of activity a person is doing, but that activity will not produce any reaction. And the example is, in this case, Arjuna's fighting. It will lead to no karmic reaction because Arjuna is not acting on one's own behalf. He's acting under the instruction of the Lord. So, this is karmanya akarma iha pashyet. Karmanya akarma iha pashyet. One who sees that in action, there is actually no reaction going to come. There is no karmic reaction. It is actually non-reactionary work. So here, karmanya refers to action, in general action. The first meaning of the word action among the four meanings. Any kind of action a person does. But akarma refers to not in action. It is not that action is in action. Somebody is doing action and still that person is not doing action. No, that person is doing action. But akarma refers to that there is no reaction going to come. Why? Because it is being done on behalf of the Lord. So normally for sannyasis, say, it is, sannyasis have actually broken free from the bondages of the world, at least externally, and they are not meant to get back into the bondage. That's why it is said that sannyasis should not cross the ocean and go to the lands across the oceans, because they will get bound by karma. How they'll get bound? Because those areas are said to be very materialistic, very contaminated. And the sannyasis may also get material desires. And then those material desires will act as contamination. They'll cause their fall down also. So the traditional Hindu standard was that sannyasi should not cross the ocean and go to the lands over there. So that is true at one level. The sannyasis have to be careful about bad association because they don't want to get contaminated. But Srila Prabhupada had this karmanya karmanya pashi. Prabhupada saw that I am not going there for any purpose of material enjoyment. I am going there for the service of the Lord. I am going there for giving Krishna's message and telling and sharing Krishna's love with people over there. So although he went to America, did he become contaminated? Far from that. He went to the most contaminated places and he transformed them into Vaikuntha. He manifested the spiritual world wherever he went. So karmanya akarmaiha pashyet. So Prabhupada had that vision that even wherever he went, he transformed that into the spiritual world. Now, one time the devotees took Srila Prabhupada for a morning walk and somehow they missed the road, they are also new. And then they were supposed to go to a park, but they came into a slum area. So it was quite, it was dirty and it was smelly and it was not at all aesthetically pleasing. The devotees approached Prabhupada, we're sorry we brought you to such a place. Prabhupada said, no, this is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha? What do you mean? Prabhupada said, you know, wherever the devotees are, and we are all together and we are discussing Krishna Katha, that is Vaikuntha. So, actually, where a devotee goes, the devotee may go to a filthy place also, but the devotee is interested in glorifying Krishna, and that glorifying of Krishna transforms that place to the transcendental level. So, karmanya akarmayah pashyet. And then, akarmani cha karmayah. Akarmani cha karmayah means what? Akarmani cha karmayah means that one who acts. So here akarmani means person is not doing any external activity. But still there is karma. That is here with the word akarma refers to no physical activity, no external activity. And karma refers to the reaction. So here karma doesn't mean action, karma means reaction. So that means even when there is no external activity, still there will be reaction. So akarmani cha karmayah, see in external inactivity karmic reaction. So Krishna has talked about this at the start of the third chapter also, when he said that karmendriyani sanyamya yasate manasasmaran indriyarthan vimudhatma mithyacharas uchyate. So he's telling that if a person may give up external engagement in the world and the person may be externally acting like a meditator, like a renouncer, but if that person is internally meditating on the sense objects and is craving for the sense objects, then that person is actually getting into karmic bondage. Person is getting into karmic bondage. So therefore, karmendriyani sanyamya yasate manasasmaran. So what is happening? Krishna strongly connects that mithyachara. Same point Krishna is telling over here in a different way from the point of view of karma. There he was talking more from the moral standards. Now he's talking from the karmic perspective. So he's saying that such a person, the person is not doing any external activity, but still the person will get bound. So akarmani cha karmayah. So Arjuna, he may renounce the world and he may go to the forest, but internally Arjuna is kshatriya and the kshatriya nature is there. He has to act. So he will be desiring things related to kshatriya nature and he will become bound by that. So actually inactivity can also be criminally culpable. For example, if a patient is dying and at that time the doctor doesn't give any medicine and the patient dies. Doctor says, I did not do anything. Not doing anything is a serious offense. That is crime that is called guilty by negligence. Guilt by negligence. That can be criminally culpable. So, if the thieves are plundering a victim and the police just stayed by mutely watching, not doing anything, then the people are karmic and actually it's karmically culpable, legally culpable there. The police, they can be guilty of negligence also. So that can be also a criminally culpable situation. So actually, akarmani cha karmaiha. So for a person who has a particular duty to perform, so Arjuna is a kshatriya, if he doesn't do the duty, he may say that I'm not doing anything, but that can cause bondage. And further, if somebody renounces and is contemplating on sense gratification, then that is also, there's external no activity, but internally there is contemplation, and therefore the motivation is not truly renounced, the motivation is not truly pure, and therefore there will be fruitive activity happening at the mental level, which will eventually lead to action at the material, physical level, and will also lead to bondage. So Krishna is saying, basically the call of the verse is, go beyond externals, go beyond superficials, look deeper, look within. See seriously, what is actually happening? And based on that vision, act properly. So basically the whole import of the verse is, to look deeper. And now after describing such a person is wise. Now after this, Krishna will start describing how a karma yogi acts. So next five verses describe how a karma yogi acts. So first he is given the general principle, see action in action, in action in action. Now he'll describe further details. Yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjitaha jnanam didagda karmanam tamahu panditam budhaha. So yasya sarve samarambha. Yasya sarve samarambha means that one who every endeavor is sarve samarambha. Arambha is attempt, samarambha is attempt to begin. It's a sarve samarambha. Whatever actions a person does, every single action of the person, kama sankalpa varjitaha. It is free from the desire for sense gratification, and that is not the sankalpa, that is not the motivation of the person. Varjitaha, free from. Therefore, such a person, jnana agni dagdha karmanam. So, the karma is like the every action that we do, like a seed. And the seed is going to produce some fruit afterwards. But if the seed is burnt, then the seed will not produce any fruit. So Krishna is saying, Jnana Agni Dagdha Karmanam. That by the fire of knowledge, the seed of karma will be burned. And such a person, when the person acts, that person will not be burned. Such a person is Tamahu Panditam Buddha. So Krishna uses two words to describe us, Panditam and Buddhaha. So both may mean the same thing, but Krishna is saying Buddha are the enlightened. And the enlightened, they consider such a person to be Pandita. So why is Krishna using two words over here? Krishna is telling Arjuna indirectly that people who are not so wise, who are not Buddha, the opposite of Buddha is Mudha. Buddha is enlightened, Mudha is ignorant. So those who are having only a superficial vision, what they may see is, oh, this person is acting, this person is going to get bound. This person is active, this person is not going to get bound, this person is going to get liberated. Those who have superficial, they will see like this. And then those people will think, oh, this person is acting, that person is ignorant. This person is not acting, that person is wise. But that is only the vision of people with superficial knowledge. What the people with deep knowledge, people who are Buddha, what they see is that this person is acting, but this person is not selfishly motivated. So the essence of this verse is, it is a call for us to sacrifice selfish motivation. It is a call for us to seek a higher motivation in life. Yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjita. So naturally, we will not act if there is no desire in our hearts. Desire is what makes us act, no doubt. But Krishna is talking here, kama refers to, it specifically it refers to lust. Generically, it refers to selfish desire. So one doesn't have a selfish desire. There can be multiple levels of selflessness, and Krishna will talk ultimately about divine selflessness. Means acting for the good of God. Not the good of God. We can't do any good to God. For the pleasure of God. For the service of God. So, and the good of others. So this is a call that one who renounces selfishness. That person is considered Pandita by the Buddha. The wise consider such a person to be intelligent. And Krishna is telling Arjuna, you become like this. So Krishna is telling that, yes, you want to renounce, yes, be meticulous renouncer. But renounce what? Don't renounce action, renounce selfishness. And let no action be motivated by selfishness. Yes, sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjita. So then Krishna will elaborate on this further. Tyaktva karma phala sangam नित्यतृप्तो निराश्रयः कर्मण्यभिप्रवृत्तोऽपि नैव किञ्चित् करोति सः त्यक्त्वा कर्मफलासङ्गम् त्यक्त्वा मीन्स् टु गिव् अप् कर्मफलासङ्गम् सो sangha is attachment. So one who gives up attachment to the fruit of work. Nityatrupto nirashrayaha. Nityatrupto is the person who's satisfied always. Nirashrayaha. That person doesn't take shelter of anyone else. Anything else. Because the person is self-satisfied. Karmani abhipravruttopi. Even if that person acts in karma as he is pravrutt, according to one's nature, abhipravruttopi. Naiva kinchit karoti saha. Such a person doesn't do anything. Naiva kinchit karoti. So he's not doing anything. What does this mean actually? It essentially means that one should act with detachment. Krishna is reassuring, reiterating the point that tyaktva karma phala sangam. The criteria is not giving up karma. The criteria is giving up attachment, giving up selfishness. So nirashraya. Normally we say we have to take ashraya of Krishna. So why is he talking about nirashraya over here? Actually, he's talking about nirashraya because right now he's not talking directly about a higher spiritual truth, about devotional principles. Now, Krishna has given knowledge about himself briefly, starting from 4.5 till 4.14, where Krishna is talking about his supreme position, how he is transcendental, how he descends to the world, how he, knowing him, can free one from bondage. How he is the goal of all paths. So Krishna has given knowledge about himself. But still, if we look at the remaining chapter, the focus is not on himself. Krishna speaks about himself in response to Arjuna's question. But from 4.16 onwards, Krishna is basically talking about Karma Yoga. So where he left off at 3.35, from there onwards, Krishna is talking on over here. So 3.35 was, Shreyanso Dharma Viguna Paradharmanso Nushtitata. That act according to one's dharma. There, a slight detour came off because Arjuna asked a question. 3.36 was the question. Athakena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha. What makes one act sinfully? And then 37 to 43 was the answer to that question. And then as Krishna was elaborating on the history of that knowledge, Arjuna asked another question. How could you have spoken to sun god? He asked in 4.4. And then 4.5 to 4.15, Arjuna received the answer to that question from Krishna. And Krishna talks about his, to respond to his question, he talks about his supreme position. But essentially what Krishna is talking about is Karma Yoga. And this Karma Yoga he explains that, yes, one person may act, but if the person is not selfishly motivated, person will not be bound. So Nirashraya doesn't refer to not taking shelter of Krishna. Nirashraya here refers to, Krishna has not introduced himself as the ultimate ashraya right now. The way he will introduce in the later chapters, Saradharman Parityajya, like that, Maam Ekam Sharanam Braja, he will introduce like that in the later chapters. But right now, he is more focusing on be detached. So there are two aspects. One is be detached from worldly things, and second is be attached to Krishna. So right now, the focus of the message is be detached from worldly things. So that's a Nirashraya means don't take shelter of anyone. So the same point Krishna had also talked about in 3.19, when he says, नैवतस्य कृतेनार्थो न कृतेनेह कश्चन न चास्य सर्वभूतेषु कश्चित् अर्थव्यापाश्रयः ए पर्सन डजंट नीड टू टेक शेल्टर ऑफ एनीवन एल्स सो व्हाट कृष्णा इज एसेंशियली टेलिंग ओवर 3.18 दैट डोंट टेक शेल्टर ऑफ एनीवन एल्स मींस डोंट बिकम अटैच्ड टू एनीवन मटेरियली सो पर्सन इज सेल्फ सैटिस्फाइड इज नॉट डिपेंडेंट ऑन एनीथिंग एल्स एनीवन एल्स मटेरियली नॉट अटैच्ड टू द फ्रूट्स ऑफ वर्क A person, even if a person acts, that person will not be bound. Now, after describing this, Krishna continues the description till verse 23. Nirashirayat chittatma tyaktasya sarva parigraha shariram kevalam karma kurvannapnoti kilvisham. So, nirashira, a person is not motivated by selfish desire. Now, the word nirash in the vernacular languages. In Hindi or Marathi, nirash means rejected. That is not the meaning in Sanskrit. Nirasha means nirasha. Asha doesn't mean hope, it means desire. So nirasha means one is without any selfish desire. Yata chitta atma, one who is self-controlled. Controlled in the mind of intelligence. Prabhupada said chitta atma, mind and intelligence. He translated over here. Tyakta sarva parigraha, the person has no possessive mentality. Not that the person has no possessions, but the person has no possessive mentality. And then what is the motivation for action? You know, generally we act. Why do we act in the world? You know, I study because I want to come first in the class, or I want to get a good marks at least in the class, or at least I want to get a job. So I need to have some degree. Like, why do I work in my office? Because I want salary at the end. Or I do have some hobbies because I enjoy doing it. But anyway, we always do something because we have a desire. We have some desire for doing it. But Krishna is telling over here, what is the motive for a person who is transcendentalist to act in the world? Shariram kevalam karma. Now, shariram kevalam karma, at one level it means simply for bodily maintenance one should act. So now, we may wonder, if Arjuna wins the war and becomes the king, he is not doing shariram kevalam karma. He will be living in a palace, he will be having opulence, he will be eating delightful feasts. Then how is he doing shariram kevalam karma? See, we shouldn't have again a stereotyped idea of shariram kevalam karma. Every people, yes, we have to act for the maintenance of the body, but how we act will depend on one's varna and ashrama. So if a person is a kshatriya, the person has to live appropriately as a kshatriya should. So shariram kevalam karma will vary for different people. And kurvan na apnoti kilvisham, such a person, even if a person acts, will not be bound. Now Prabhupada writes in the purport of this, 4.21, that a Krishna, so he has no desire for sense gratification. So nirashira chittatma, and Prabhupada gives two examples. His example may seem a little disturbing. He says he moves exactly like a part of a machine. As a machine part requires oiling and cleaning for maintenance, so a Krishna conscious man maintains himself by his work just to remain fit for action in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So we wonder, you know, we are not machines. We are not meant to be just like mechanical. We are conscious. So what does it mean to be a part of a machine? See, the point is, here it's not to dehumanize us. It is not to say that we have to become mechanized. The point is coordination and cooperation. Every example has a emphasis. So the examples, this example emphasizes that just as a part works in sync with the whole, similarly, we should work in sync with the whole. But how do we work in sync with the whole? Not by becoming like a machine, means forgetting our consciousness, forgetting our desires. But that cooperation, that syncing happens because of love. When we understand that we are parts of Krishna and Krishna loves us, and when we love Him, we will get the greatest happiness. So then we will work in sync with Him. And that's what is exactly the example of a part of a machine. And then he says, then he gives another example which may seem even more disturbing. Like an animal, he has no proprietorship even on his own body. A cruel proprietor of an animal sometimes kills the animal in his position, yet the animal does not protest. So now, we may say, what is it? What kind of example? What kind of life is this? Whatever happens, are we supposed to be slaughtered? Like that? No, again, the point is, not that somebody will slaughter us. Krishna is not like an animal slaughterer. Krishna is never going to slaughter. But here, the example's point is our surrender. So, just like a faithful dog, we'll be with the master till the last breath. So like that, we are faithful. So, now, Prabhupada did not approve the Western civilization's fascination with dogs as pets. You know, having them in the house, having them on one's bed. He said the dog is an unclean animal. But at the same time, Prabhupada also recognized virtue there, there was virtue. So dog was faithful to the master. So the dog may even lay down its life for the sake of the master, and it will always be with the master. So even the master kicks the dog will still be there. That doesn't mean the master should kick the dog. It's not a justification of the master's doing anything wrong. It is simply a acknowledgement of a virtue present in a particular animal. So like that, a devotee is utterly devoted to the Lord. Now, sometimes it may appear to us as if the Lord is beating us. Sometimes, even when we are seriously devoted to Krishna, still problems come up. This goes wrong, that goes wrong, there that happens, here this happens. We wonder, why are these things happening to me? What is actually going on? But if we stay fixed in Krishna consciousness, we will understand that the Lord has a plan, and whatever He is doing is ultimately for our good, although we may not understand it immediately. So the point of the example is to have faithfulness. Just like a dog has faithfulness, so like that we should have faithfulness towards the Lord. So that is what Prabhupada is explaining this verse from a Krishna conscious perspective.
Then?
Yadruchhalabha santushto dvandvatito vimatsara samasiddhava siddhaucha krutvapi anibadhyate. So yadruchhalabha santushto. So yadruchha means by divine arrangement, by higher arrangement. It is by its own accord. That means by the arrangement of nature. Labha santushto. So whatever labha a person gets by one's own accord, that person is santushta with that. So whatever comes of one's accord is satisfied. Dvandva atito vimatsaraha. Dvandva atito. This is good, this is bad. A person understands this is all material and ultimately I have to go beyond this. Dvandva atito. One goes beyond another. Vimatsaraha and not envious. Yeah, I have this small house, that person has a bigger house. Why does person have a bigger house? I want a bigger house. Now this envy is something which will never be satisfied, which will never go away. Because there will always be some other people who are better than us, and that will be will make us envious. Actually, vimatsaraha. Ultimately, when we are envious of someone, we are envious of Krishna. Because Krishna has so much opulence and we want to be God. So vimatsaraha. The person knows material things cannot make me happy. They cannot make anyone happy. So why should I be envious of anyone? Vimatsaraha. So sama siddhava siddhaucha. Because the person is not too possessive about the results of activity, he doesn't get too excited. Samasiddhava siddhaucha. Okay, and if I get success, fine. If I don't get success, okay. I'll go on doing my duty. Because I understand the success doesn't come just by my efforts. It comes ultimately by my own past karmic reactions also. So I'll keep doing my duty. Sometimes results may come, sometimes results may not come. But I'll stay fixed in my duty. So krutvapi nanibadhyate. Such a person, even if such a person acts, the person will not be bound. And then, in the next verse, Krishna concludes this description of karma yoga, of a karma yogi. Gata sangasya muktasya jnana avastita chetasaha yajnaya charataha karma samagram praviliyate. So, gata sangasya muktasya. Sangha is attachment. Gata sangha means one whose sangha has gone away. Muktasya, this person is liberated. Jnana avastita chetasaha. Person situated in jnana, in knowledge. The consciousness is situated in knowledge. Jnana avastita chetasaha. And then what is the intention for work? Yajnaya acharataha karma. The person acts for yajna. Then what will happen to the person? Samagram praviliyate. Samagram, in totality, that person's karma, activity, praviliyate, will merge. So it's significant. What will merge? It is not the person will merge, the person's work will merge. That means the work will become transcendental. Work wants to material. And what's very significant word here in this verse is in 4.23c, yajnaya acharataha karma. So Krishna has referred to the principle of yajna in 3.9. He says, yajnarthat karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. So work for the purpose of yajna, then you will not stay bound. So he has mentioned that, and he talked about the whole system of yajna from 3.9 to 3.16. And parjanyat annasambhava, yajnat bhavati parjanyo. That whole section was there. So now Krishna is bringing that point, and he is saying that actually yajna is not just some fire sacrifice. Yajna essentially means sacrifice, selfless sacrifice. So when the person acts in the mood of yajna, yajnaya acharata, means acts in the mood of sacrifice, then the person will stay bound, free from bondage. And this verse, yajnaya acharata, will be expanded in the next section from 4.24 till 4.33. That we will discuss in the next class. Thank you very much. Hare.